According to Matthew, the 25th chapter. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was long in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up, trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Can I have the children come down for the children's sermon? Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, some days you just never know what's going to happen. And today was one of those days when I had one of the best laughs of my life this morning. I really did. Didn't start off that way, but I had one of the best laughs. There's the opening line of my sermon, okay? Murphy's Law states what? That if anything can go wrong, it will. It probably will. So when I came in this morning, I saw the little light flashing on my answering machine. I don't like the little light flashing on my answering machine first thing on Sunday morning. Not a good sign. So anyway, I played the little message and it said, "Hi, this is Gwen Johnson. I'm supposed to read the lessons today, but my arms still hurt, so I'm not going to be able to make it." Okay, Murphy's Law. So I went around and I have this little routine. I go through the church and make sure the lights are on, all this kind of stuff. And I come back and Sherry said, "Did you get the message from Mark Larson?" I said, "No, I was in sanctuary. I didn't hear the phone ring." "Well, Tom Hoagland is supposed to play the organ today. Tom threw his back out this morning and will not be able to be at church." So, you know, Renee, Aaliyah, they came through Murphy's Law. So if anything can go wrong, it probably will. So as I was thinking about that, There were some other kind of Murphy's Laws, you know, little side laws that I ran across this week. And I thought, well, you know, I'll share those with you too, because it does really go along with the sermon. And one of them is light travels faster than sound. That's why some people appear so bright before they open their mouth. My son loved that one. You ever heard of the 50-50-90 principle? 50-50-90. Here it is. If you have a 50-50 chance of getting something right, there's a 90% probability you'll get it wrong. But this was my favorite. And you know, this kind of goes along with the old adage. Give a man a fish, and he will eat for a day. Teach a man to fish, and he will sit in the boat drinking beer all day. It's true, isn't it? The parable that we have before us is kind of an interesting parable. It's interesting and at the same time it's kind of disturbing, this parable about the 10 virgins, the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. And it's interesting because these ladies were almost all the same. You know, they were all bridesmaids. That's basically, you know, what their job was. They were bridesmaids. They all arrived at the same time. They all waited. They all got tired. They all fell asleep. So far, they're all the same, right? They all fell asleep. When the bridegroom, the announcement came, they all woke up. They all trimmed their lamps. But 5 of them knew the 2 plus 10 principle, and 5 of them didn't. Now, this is a principle I learned long time ago when I was not quite as wise as I am today. And the 2 plus 10 principle kind of goes like this. I remember when we were first married, you know, I did little repairs around the house and stuff. And I would always take a look, and Sherry said, well, how long is it going to take and how much is it going to cost? Okay, it's going to take an hour, cost $10. Inevitably, it took 2 hours, cost $20, and a new tool. The only good part of the job was the new tool. Yeah, right. And I did this continually. I made the same mistake. And I looked like a bigger fool than I normally look like. And then one day I was watching This Old House. And the guy was talking about, you know, amateurs making repairs around the house. And he said, you need to know the 2 plus 10 principle. I said, okay, good. What is it? He said, take a look at how much time you think it's going to take. Look at how much you think it's going to cost. Multiply by 2. Add 10%. So if you think it's going to be an hour, tell them 2.5 hours. And if you think it's going to cost $10, you say 20. Now, if I get it done in less than that, or in that amount of time, I'm good. But if I get done in less, I'm great. Moved up in the world. These ladies forgot the 2 plus 10 principle. They thought the bridegroom was going to be on time, and he was late. And so they didn't bring any extra oil. They hadn't planned for the unexpected. They hadn't planned for Murphy's Law happening. But the story's kind of unsettling in the fact that, what do you think Jesus, you know, when you read the story the first time through, what do you think Jesus would have said? We got 5 that have oil, 5 that don't, and the ladies who had the oil did what? Huh? Kept it to themselves? Is that what Jesus, you think that's what Jesus would have said normally? No, what do you think he normally would have said? They shared the oil, right? This isn't a parable about sharing. This is a parable about being prepared. And 5 were, and 5 weren't. And this is a lesson Jesus wants us to learn. We're called to be prepared. What is it for which we're to be prepared? Jesus coming again. When is he going to come again? We don't know. But we do know this. He's going to come like a thief in the night. Now, do you know when a thief in the night's going to come? No, they don't ring the doorbell and say, hi, here I am, give me all your stuff. It catches you by surprise. And so the parable, the point of this parable, is we need to be ready because you do not know when Jesus might come again. So as you're sitting here, ask yourself, if Jesus were to come right now, if you were to walk right through those doors, are you ready? Or is there somebody with whom you still need to make peace? Is there somebody that you still need to forgive? Is there something that you need to do? Some act of charity, some act of kindness that you have meant to do that you have put off? Is there someone? How many of you have people that have you ever done this? You say, I really need to talk to that person. And have you ever just put it off and not done it? Yeah. Who have you put off talking to that you need to? If Jesus were to come today, could you carry out that conversation? No. We need to be prepared and not put off the things that are important. And that's one of the points of the parable. But I think there's another point to this parable, and that's the one I want to share with you today. And to share that point, I'm going to tell you a story. And I hope that this story gets across the point that I want to get across. And it's a story that's told by Mike Iaconelli. And I really like him as a storyteller. think he's got some great stories, so I'm going to share one of his with you. It's about a friend of his. He had a friend who was pretty sick. He had heart problems, he had cancer, and things didn't look very well for him. But he was also an individual of great determination, great strength. And so he kind of put that last rally together. And he was able to be home for Christmas. So Mike told his friend, he said, you know what would really be a cool thing? He said, what if I were to come over on Christmas Day and I were to give you and your wife communion? Wouldn't that be a really neat thing? And they said, yeah, why don't you do that? So they set a time. And just a few minutes before he was ready to leave the house, they called and they said, wait a minute, can you come an hour later? Our grandson and his girlfriend and her two children by her previous marriage are going to be here as well. And they'd really like to celebrate communion with us on Christmas. Could you do that? He said, yeah, I'll just wait. So he went over. And when he got to the house, there they were, all sitting around the dining room table. And so he placed the bread and he placed the wine on the table. And he said, well, does anybody have any questions? Well, there was a young 11-year-old kid who said, well, can I just kind of sit here and you know, watch what happens? And he said, yeah, that's fine. So he consecrated the elements. He began to pass them around. And when they got to the boy, he was going to pass them to the next person. He said, can I take communion? And he looked at him. He said, well, do you understand what it's all about? And the grandson interrupted. He says, oh, yeah. He said, I explained the whole thing to him on the way over here today. And he said, yeah, go ahead. So he took communion along with everybody else. And then as Mike was getting ready to do the closing prayer, out of nowhere, kid said, sir, how can you hear God speak to you? Well, he thought about that one for a minute, and he said, well, Joshua, if you listen very carefully, you'll know when God speaks. Now, it may not be audible, and it may not happen right away, but if you just kind of keep your heart open, eventually you will hear God speak. Now, the problem with telling kids something is they take you seriously. And he took him seriously. And so he scrunched his eyes. And you know how you get into that listening pose sometimes where you just kind of just wait. Just waiting to hear it. And he did. He sat there waiting. And all of a sudden he yelled, I heard him! I heard God speak! You know, nobody in that room believed that. Not one person believed it. And so, kind of condescendingly, he said, well, what did he tell you, Joshua? What did you hear him say? And he kind of expected some kind of childish answer. I mean, you know, you would do that. And he looked at him with wide-eyed wonder and excitement. And he said, don't forget me. You see, and I think that's what this parable is also about. I think it's about those words. I think it's about don't forget me. It's not just are you prepared if Jesus were to come again, but don't forget me. Because you see, I think we have a tendency to do that sometimes. I think as we go through life, we get so busy, we get so many things going on, we have so many lists, so many activities, so many places we have to be, so much running around, so many other things that press, pull, tug, whatever, that we miss God. We miss him in day-to-day life. And here's the amazing thing about God. He comes at the most unexpected times and sometimes from the most unexpected folks. And we're called to keep our eyes and our ears open, even when it seems like an eternity since the last time we heard God's voice. We need to keep our eyes and our ears open, even when we're so tired, we don't know if we can make the next step or not. We need to keep our eyes and our ears open in the midst of our guilt and our pain and our boredom and all the other things of life. It's not just on communion. It's not just in bread and wine, but each day, Jesus says these words. He says, don't forget me. So we're not just ready for the second coming. We're ready for those unexpected, unexplained experiences when God breaks into life. And if we're not ready, if we don't expect to see, then we never will. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Stand, we'll sing our hymn. It is hymn number 593.